Now, in addition to being a board member at Dog Story, you're a comedian, you're an actor, a writer, a director. You don't have enough to do you?
It is pretty busy. A lot of my biggest anxiety stuff is my own creation. For example, back when Laugh Fest was going on, over about a 9-day period, because I do this comedy tour with another comic from DC, mm-hmm. It's a college tour. We had to drive to do shows in Illinois, Missouri, and then down into Oklahoma. Then I had to come back home to do 2 Laugh Fest shows, then back to Southern Missouri for a show, then back home for the second weekend of Laugh Fest, and then the Sunday of Laugh Fest, we had to drive to Texas.
Wow.
So, but that's me, I had to balance
sure
stuff because I couldn't say no to all of these college shows that had been booked without
right
making that agent really mad.
Sure.
But I also couldn't ignore, the importance of Laugh Fest,
right,
not only to me, but to Dog Story.
Right.
I'm staying busy.
Now, what made you decide to give stand-up a shot?
Let's see. I think it started, I probably did my first open mic when I was either 16 or 17.
Okay.
So I was pretty young.
Very young.
Yeah, I was in East Lansing, and there's a club there called Connections Comedy Club, and
mm-hmm.
I had... the theater at East Lansing High School was very active,
sure,
very active theater department, and we had done a show where all of the students were asked to write essentially their part, to write
okay
a monologue that would be part of the show, and I wrote this comedic piece, and it went over really well, and I'm like, oh, I like this, and so, the feel of, I guess, making people laugh, and so not long after that, I tried this open mic thing, and...
So what was your first open mic experience like?
It was decent for me. I mean, none of my stuff bombed. And
was it a room full of friends or folks you didn't know?
Nope, I didn't know anybody. I just went to the club. I didn't tell anyone that I was going. But it was generally positive for me. I want to say iconic, but it was a very memorable
sure
open mic experience because the person right before me went up and their jokes did not go well. And as they were passing me, they started bawling.
Oh, geez.
And, I'm this, 16 or 17 year old, and this, grown man is walking past me just bawling his eyes out at how badly his thing had gone. And I'm like, all right, I'm still going to try it. So,
and everything went fantastic for you?
And it went pretty well. And so I did a little bit. I did stand up then till I was 20 or 21 into college. And then I started kind of veering off into improv and more into theater.
Now, you also talk about your comedy tour that you've been doing. You do probably about 30 plus states a year.
Yep, we usually make it to, between 30 and 35 states a year. Me and a comic named Jimmy Merritt from D.C.,
mm-hmm.
And it's an all-college tour that gets booked, and we just go college to college. An agency books the shows, and we just show up and tell jokes.
So how much material comes out of your travels?
A lot of it, actually. When I'll do a private show or something at a club, it's very different material because when I'm at the colleges, I am very much in kind of a road mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite jokes about driving around, which is true, is when you're in areas like Colorado or upstate New York with all these mountains,
mm-hmm.
and you'll be driving down the highway and there'll be a sign that says Falling Rock Zone.
Right.
Well, Michigan's a pretty flat state.
Right.
And we don't have lots of those signs. So if you're from a flat state and you're not used to driving down the highway,
right,
seeing signs that say Falling Rock Zone,
mm-hmm.
and then you are driving down the highway and see that sign, it's like, am I in a video game? What just happened? And, I talk about how, and I don't understand the purpose of the sign because it seems like if you're going to die because part of a mountain fell off and crushed you, it's probably going to be a surprise.
That'll ruin your day.
Right. So, I've definitely got a lot of material from traveling around.
Now, you're also a member of the Don't We Boys. And tell me a little bit about what the Don't We Boys is.
Sure. Well, I out of college, I went and worked at Second City for a couple years, which is, you know, the improv sketch theater based out of Chicago.
Sure.
And that's where I really fell in love with not only improv but sketch comedy. And sketch comedy is it's in many ways the opposite end of the spectrum from improv, because mm-hmm. it's not improvised at all. It's all written out, you know, word for word. You've got a script. And the Don't We Boys, which is, I know it's a weird name for a lot of people, it comes from that idea of, you know, from like an old Western where someone says, we get the bad guy, don't we, boys?
Gotcha.
Yeah. So the Don't We Boys group is a sketch comedy show, and we kind of call it Hardy Boys inspired.
Sure.
We're trying to do lots of high stakes scenes, kind of playfully dark. You know, like we've got a scene where, you know, two of the guys are out in the woods and they find another guy who's just standing still and they can't figure out why he won't move. And they end up discovering that he was frozen in a game of freeze tag like 20 years before, but he was just really committed to the rules. And so they just have to figure out how can they untag this kid. They can't leave him. So the Don't We Boys is a sketch comedy show, and we've been touring around. We went out to, we got invited to a festival out in San Francisco and Seattle and Milwaukee. We just did Chicago mm-hmm. recently, and it's been really great.